Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
How many of you take a prescription medication or vitamins every day? Wow, pretty good number of people out there who take some sort of medication or vitamin every day. Over the past few years, I have accumulated quite the regimen of medication that I need to take myself, that I'm supposed to consume. I have aged gracefully, hopefully, but as I've aged gracefully, my doctor says there's a little pill I need to take every day to take care of my acid reflux. Because I got a little bit of GERD going on. One pill every day, sufficient to keep my tummy happy and to keep me from getting indigestion, right? I've got one pill that I take for acid reflux. I've got one pill that I take every morning for allergies. You may not know it, but I'm allergic to everything. I'm allergic to mold. I'm allergic to tree leaves. I'm allergic to just about everything you can think of that's not edible. I like food. I don't have food allergies, but any environmental allergy, they put the strip on me on my arm to test me what I was allergic to. I'm allergic to it all. I'm allergic to cats. I'm allergic to dogs. And the only reason we have Pepper Jane is because Pepper is a breed of dog that is hypoallergenic. I can like hug her and I can squeeze her and love on that little puppy and my eyes don't water, my nose doesn't run or anything like that. But I have to take one pill every day for my allergies. I have a pill that I take every day to manage pain. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I've got a pill, it's like I've had a neck surgery a couple of years ago. I've still got vestiges of neuropathy and things like that that I've got to take care of. So my doctor says, hey, take this pill. And if you take it every day, it will take care of your pain. My doctor also says, hey, for that pain, you should take this pill, but you should also take some vitamin B, a B complex supplement. I got to take that every day. He said just one is sufficient. It's gotten to the point when we travel, I feel like I need to buy an extra ticket for my medicine bag. Because I've got so many things that I'm bringing along. Every morning, it's like this ritual, this process where I got to take all of my pills once a day. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. But I have to take my meds. If I don't take my meds, I get off the rails health-wise. If I don't take my allergy medicine, I can tell. If I don't take my pain medicine, I can tell. If I don't take my acid reflux medicine, I can tell. And if I forget to take them all, I have a really bad day. It's just the way it kind of works. If I miss a dose, it's usually bad news. If I miss a dose of my medicine, usually not a good thing. So for the past few weeks now, we've been talking about the concept of grace. We've been studying this concept, exploring the meanings and the implications of grace for followers of Jesus. And this morning, as we conclude our study of grace, I want to close out the series by talking for just a couple of moments with you about the truth that grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthian church about the sufficiency of God's grace. He wrote about this truth, and I'd like us to turn our attention this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. It's about two-thirds of the way back in your Bible. It is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and you talk about a church that was a train wreck of all sorts of different issues, but they loved Jesus, and they were growing in grace, and they were growing in faith, and because of their bumps, because of their bruises, because of their arguments, because of their misunderstandings, Paul was able to use that situation to spell out God's will in our life for a number of different issues. And one of the things he wanted to talk about was when life doesn't seem to go your way. Okay? And he talks about this concept of life not going our way in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And here's Paul. He's writing from a prison cell, and he's had many great revelations, and he's just been spending the past several pages of this letter that he's writing about, talking about these insights and truths that he has gained. And he writes to the Corinthian church. He says, "But to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from getting a big head, to keep me from becoming egotistic, because of these surpassingly great revelations to me, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And in my Bible, that verse, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," is in red letters, the words of Jesus Christ spoken directly into the heart of the Apostle Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships." He's crazy. "I delight in persecutions." What's wrong with this guy? "I delight in difficulties." What's wrong with this man? "For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord this morning. God's grace, friends, is sufficient for what you're facing right now in your life. God's grace is sufficient for you today, and I just want you to hear that. We need to be reminded of this sometimes, because sometimes life comes at you and it's pretty heavy. You get challenges thrown at you. You get obstacles thrown at you. It gets stressful. It gets emotional. It gets difficult. Tough sledding. I want you to know, if the sledding is tough this morning, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. We need God's grace to be saved, right? We need God's grace to be saved eternally. But one of the things I want you to realize this morning is we also need to avail ourselves of God's grace every single day in our lives. Yes, God's grace saves us from sin, but we need to avail ourselves of God's grace every single day. When we pray that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, there's a reason Jesus taught us to pray this way. He said, when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm watching football last night. Ohio State Buckeyes won, and then I'm watching the Clemson game. I'm watching the Alabama game. I'm watching football all over the place. What's that smell? Fresh bread. Pastor Vicky's baking bread. God wants to bake bread that he wants to give to you every day. You need to ask for it. We need to ask for grace every day. Give us this day our daily bread. When you pray that, friends, it's not just a ritual. It's just not rote recitation of a memory verse that means nothing. It should be the core of our prayer. Give me this day my daily bread. And when you pray that, you are actually praying for God's grace to pour down in your life. It covers me. You're praying for his... Can you do this? Can you do this? Can folks out there online, can you do this? We're all doing this right now. We're doing it together. God's grace. We're praying for God's grace to pour down in our life like rain, because we need God's saving grace every day in our life. We need God's equipping grace every day in our life. We need God's extending grace every day in our life to be like Jesus. We need God's grace every day in our life. Grace, friends, I want you to pick this up. I want you to walk out with this truth this morning. Grace, yes, Jesus saves, but grace is not a one and done experience. You don't accept God's grace and then go live like you want to out in the world. Grace is not a one and done. Grace is kind of like having access to grace is kind of like having knowledge that my propantazole will take care of my acid reflux, but I choose not to take it. Yeah. Having knowledge, it's like having knowledge of a medicine that can cure you, but deciding not to take it. Leaving the dose on the shelf does you no good. I got a bottle of pills in my cabinet, but just because I have it on my shelf doesn't mean it's going to heal me. Just because I have the medicine in my cabinet doesn't mean it's going to help me. You got to take it as directed. Take as directed. Jesus saves us by his grace when we choose to believe in him as our Savior. But we are required daily. This is scriptural. We're required daily to submit ourselves to the authority of his grace for it to continue to do its work in our lives. Jesus himself told his disciples on his final evening when he shared that first communion supper with them, he shared with them, if, this is a condition statement, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And one of his commands was to love one another, but one of his commands was also to pray every day, give me my daily bread today, give me my grace today. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Red letter words straight from Jesus. It's scriptural. We need to continue to walk in grace and receive it on a regular basis. Jesus himself says so. And the more, friends, I'm telling you, if you're on the struggle bus in your life, who's been on the struggle bus lately? We all get on the struggle bus every once in a while. I think sometimes I feel like I'm the bus driver on the struggle bus. I, as your pastor, struggle some of the time. But when we struggle, that is the time when we more than ever need to willingly, intentionally seek, not just seek, but receive God's grace in our lives, in our hearts. And then we become empowered to face whatever we're facing. We become more gracious. We become more generous. We become more Christ-like. You know the saying, you are what you eat? I'm pizza rolls today. I had some pizza rolls last night watching the football games. But we become, I want you to hear this, as soul people, as people with souls, we are our spirits, right? Our bodies are just the physical manifestation of who you are. We become what we receive into our souls. We become what we willingly receive into our souls and practice. And it starts with receiving a fresh dose of God's grace every single day. Every morning we wake up, take a breath of air, put our feet on the floor, sitting on our bed. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. You pour down your grace upon me today, the grace that I need to make it through this day. And you know what? When we pray that, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. That grace is sufficient for that day. God's, one of the things I found, I don't know if you found it, I think Paul found it this way, but God's sufficient grace, it kind of has a way of putting us in our place. God's sufficient grace has a way of putting us in our place. Have you heard the phrase, you're getting too big for your britches? Oh, yes. Right? You like that one. Sometimes we get a little big-headed, you know? Sometimes when God starts working in us and God starts working through us, we start believing the headlines in our brains. We start believing that it's us, it's not him. Oh, I did that. You know, we get big for our britches. And instead of relying on God, the enemy starts putting thoughts into our noggins that we somehow are due the credit. You know? It's like feeling so good that you think, you know, I'm feeling so good today, I really don't need to take my medicine. Anybody been there? Come on, can I get a witness? I feel so good today, I don't even need to take my medicine. But in reality, I feel so good today, I don't even need to take it. But when you don't take it, what happens? You start feeling bad. You start experiencing symptoms once again. And Paul, he's sitting in a jail cell. He experienced this. He knows exactly what this journey is like. The Apostle Paul is learning in his own life. He was successful in ministry, even from a jail cell. He was successful in deploying the church, and he had so much to boast about. He had these revelations to help people understand what the gospel of Christ was all about. And Paul was on the verge of believing his own press. He was on the verge of believing his own headlines. He confesses it here in this scripture. He said, "Because I was becoming so conceited," because I was becoming so conceited, he acknowledges it. He admits it. He was on the verge of getting too big for his breeches. But to prevent him from getting too big for his breeches, he shares that God allowed a thorn in his side to keep him humble. Thorn in his side to keep him humble. Now there's a lot of debate that's out there, a lot of speculation. Did he literally have like a thorn from a rose bush in his side? Figure of speech, right? There's a lot of theological conversation about what was the thorn in Paul's side. And I really believe that Paul did not specifically provide the details of what the thorn was, because he knew if he just generally mentioned it, we could more easily apply it in our lives across a vast many variety of thorns that humanity experiences. We don't know if his physical disability was a speech. We don't know if it was a physical disability in the first place. We just don't know that. It was a thorn in his flesh. We don't know if it was, maybe it was a speech defect. I don't know. Maybe he was short and he couldn't reach the top shelf. I don't know. Maybe he was tall and he bumped his head on doorways when he walked through. I don't know. We don't know if it was chronic pain. We don't know if it was an immunocompromised system, gluten allergies. We don't know if he had a bad liver or kidneys. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know if he was allergic to chocolate. I mean, talk about a thorn. We don't know what the thorn was. It really doesn't matter. What we need to know is that whatever it was a hindrance to him. He didn't feel like he could be 100% effective because he had this thorn in his side. He had this thorn in his life. And I want you to think about this morning, we all have thorns in some way, shape, or form. We all have thorns. And so Paul identifies with us, and we can identify with him. The thorn slowed him down. The thorn was an impediment. The thorn humbled him. The thorn helped keep him in his place so he didn't get conceited. And it was something so dramatic in his life that he felt it necessary to take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. He needed the Lord. This is something, it's a big deal in his life. And he didn't just take it to the Lord once. He didn't just take it to the Lord twice. He took it to the Lord three times. Lord, take this thorn out of my life. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, Lord, take this cup from me. If it's your will, take this cup from me. But if it's not, thy will be done. Paul, in the same way, take this thorn away. But instead of taking the thorn away, Jesus, in red letter words, says, Paul, I hear you. You are heard. You are loved. I want you to know my grace is sufficient for you, even as you're dealing with this thorn. For my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I'll be really... Can I be real with you for a moment? When I read that, when I experience hardship and thorns, my thorns in my life, and when I read those words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, sometimes if you're not aware of the character of God, the character of Jesus, that could come across as God being kind of cruel. How could a loving God not remove my thorn? Does he not love me? Does he not care for me? Does he not care that I'm suffering? That doesn't seem to be very nice, does it? But I want you to kind of step back from the thorn and the pain this morning and see the bigger picture. Church, I want you to understand that God is not torturing his followers by refusing to remove the thorn. He's not torturing us. He's not mean. He's not cruel. As a matter of fact, exactly the opposite is true. I want you to know this morning, church, God does not cause what ails you. God did not cause what ails you. God does not cause cancer. God does not cause cancer. God does not cause celiac disease. God does not, He doesn't cause anything that ails us. These things, He doesn't cause chronic pain. I have chronic pain every day. So do some of you. God's not sticking a needle in some voodoo doll somewhere to be mean to Joe Case. Take that, Joe. That's not the nature of the loving God that we know and serve and who the Bible teaches us about. These things that we're talking about, these physical ailments, these things that bring us down, they're usually rooted back to two things. Number one, we live in a broken creation. This world is broken. This world is broken by sin, has been since Adam ate that apple and Eve did too. And the result, the impact of that was the perfect was made imperfect and the beautiful was made flawed. And sickness and disease and suffering and tears and sorrow entered the world through that act of disobedience. God does not cause cancer, folks. It's because this creation that He made was broken by sinfulness. He does not. I want you to know that. The other thing that happens in our lives when we face challenges that God does not cause, one of the things God does is He gives humanity free will. And sometimes people abuse that free will and they hurt other people by the choices that they make. Don't blame God because somebody else is hurting you. Okay? Sometimes we're like, God, where are you? They're hurting. You know, people make choices. We live in a fallen creation. And sometimes God gets a bad rap because we tend to blame Him. We tend to ascribe Him to Him the fault for some things that happen in our lives. He doesn't cause those things. But I'm here to tell you this morning the good news that often He works through the circumstances of our ailments. He works through our weaknesses. He works through our vulnerabilities. He works through our lackings. And despite the challenges that we may face physically, He uses those things to advance the purpose of His kingdom.
Amen.
Take that, devil. We're going to advance the kingdom anyhow. Even if I'm feeling weak, even if I've got a thorn, I'm going to give this person grace that is sufficient, and we're going to take ground anyhow. That's how the kingdom of God works. Sometimes God does heal. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes the healing's an eternal healing. We must be people of faith. We must be people that believe that grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient to get us through today and to sustain us through all eternity. Just a couple of anchoring thoughts this morning as we talk about the sufficiency of God's grace. Sufficient grace, it anchors us in the here and now. Sufficient grace anchors us. Like a storm, we need to be anchored. We need to be anchored down so that the wind does not blow us away, so that the waves do not overcome us. Sufficient grace anchors us in the here and now. Just like one-a-day vitamins. Just like one-a-day vitamins, we need to make sure that we're pounding that stake in the ground so that we are anchored to the Lord every single day. His grace is just enough for today. It's just enough to get you through this day. So that means, friends, if His grace is sufficient for today, we need not worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
So often, so much of our energy, so many of our calories are invested in tomorrow, that we miss the blessing of today.
Amen.
We get so consumed with what's coming up down the road or what may happen, and most of the time in those fears it never does happen. Sometimes it does. His grace is sufficient for today. It keeps us anchored in the here and now. Sometimes that grace anchors us in today so we don't need to fret over the past. Anybody went to the school of regret? A few. A few students in the school of regret. God's grace is sufficient for today so that we do not have to beat ourselves up over decisions we've made in the past, words we've said that we regret ever came out of our mouths, right? And sometimes we live our lives with regret. We're always thinking about, oh, we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what we said and wish we didn't say that. We wake up in the middle of the night wishing we didn't make that decision that altered the course of our life at some point in time. God's grace, friends, it covers that. Don't worry about that. His grace, it anchors us in here and now. God's saving grace is sufficient for today, and it is sufficient for days past, and it is sufficient for the days coming forward, but it anchors us so that we can enjoy his grace here and now. There's some of you who are thinking about what's going on at 12 o'clock right now. You're not even here. You're not even here right now. You're thinking about something else. You're someplace else right now. God's grace anchors us so that we can be here now and live life to its fullest in his grace. Sufficient grace also anchors us in a dependency on the Father. It anchors us in a dependency. Some dependencies are not good, but this is the best kind of dependency. It anchors us in a dependency on the Father. Learning to follow Jesus means that we have to learn to rely on God for our every need, every hour, every day. We spend so much time in our lives trying to control our lives. It's an illusion. We control nothing. We expend so much energy trying to control our budget. We work and we work and we work so we have enough money to pay our bills and sustain for the future. But in reality, Jesus teaches us that's going to just decay like moth and rust. We spend so much of our energy to control our health. Think about all the medicine I'm taking every day. Maybe I'm not. What would it be like to see me with no medicine in me? I'd probably be like Jim from Taxi before he ate the brownies, if you know what I'm meaning. It's like we expend so much time and energy trying to control our budget, trying to control our health, but in reality, our efforts are limited. Our control is limited. And God wants us to trust in him for our every need. He wants us to trust him for our every need. He wants us to let him drive. Now, I'm the type of person, Pastor Bill, when I get into a vehicle, 99 out of 100 times, guess who's in the driver's seat? Yeah. I am a control freak behind the wheel. I can't stand it. You could have the best, safest driver in the world driving the car, and it would drive me batty because I'm not in control. I'm not in control. And we have to allow God, we have to trust God to drive. That we have to give up control. No matter like how crazy life's going, we have to trust God to supply his grace, to supply for what we need this day. We must learn how to pray. We must learn how to pray, how to truly pray. Give me this day my daily bread. Lord, I am letting you drive. Lord, I am totally dependent on you today. There's stuff going on in my lives I have no ability to control. People are making choices, la da 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 da. There's all sorts of stuff. My body's not cooperating with me, yada da 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 da. There's all sorts of stuff that I can't control. Lord, I am totally dependent on you today. Give me my daily bread, not just my food. That bread last night smelled good. God's grace, friends, is even sweeter, and he's cooking it up fresh every day. Amen. He's cooking it up fresh every day, and it's ours to receive. Give me my daily bread, not just for my food, but for my every word. Give me your grace for every thought that I think. Give me your grace. Give me the grace that I need to be creative enough to work through the problems that I'm facing today. Lord, give me the grace to be patient. Give me the grace to be patient with my coworkers. Sometimes it's give me the grace to be patient with the other people that live in my house. Amen. Sometimes it's give me the grace to be patient with my neighbors. But give me the grace to be patient and to be Christ-like even when it's not deserved. Talk about needing grace. We need it. Give me the, Lord, give me my daily bread. Give me the wisdom that I need. This is a prayer he wants us to pray every day. Give me the wisdom that I need to do and to say the right thing. Give me the direction. Give me a sense of direction, Lord, so that I can stay in step with you, so that I can remain in your will. Shed light in front of me so that I can see where to step forward and where not to step. Give me your grace. This, all those things, that's your daily bread. That's a big basket of bread, isn't it? We need to become dependent on God for his sufficient grace every day. And if we miss a dose, guess what? Your life's going to be pretty miserable. If we find ourselves missing the intentional engagement and going to the Father for that daily bread and prayer, if your life's miserable, do a little bit of an evaluation of your prayer life. How much time do you actually spend in the Word? How much time do you actually spend in prayer? Asking for these things. So often we go to God and we have our emergency list, but pray that Lord's Prayer. It'll get you praying the right thing. It'll get you praying everything you need today in your life. Finally, final point, we'll wrap this up. Sufficient grace, it anchors us in the midst of our thorns. It anchors us in the midst of the thorn patch. And you're like, well, that doesn't feel comfortable. And I think about the crown of thorns that sat on Jesus' head. That had to hurt. Talk about thorns in your side. Have one in your temple, have one in the back of your brain, piercing through. Talk about thorns. Sufficient grace anchored Jesus even as he wore the crown of thorns hanging on the cross. Grace held him there. It was the grace of God holding him there. Grace doled out in daily doses. Otherwise, we'd get spiritually fat and sassy. If God just gave us all the grace we need and took the thorn aside, you know what we would? You know what you would do? You would not ever go back to God, because it's like going back to the dentist. You know, how many of you like to go back to the dentist every day? None of us do. We go when we need to. We go when we need to. So God's grace, he doles it out to us every day in the midst of our thorns, and being dependent on his grace, I want you to know this morning that being dependent on grace is not a weakness. Being dependent on grace is not a sign of weakness. As a matter of fact, being dependent on grace is a sign of strength. Amen. Scripture tells us that. At the end of the day, that's what grace is all about. It gives us the strength so that we can withstand, so that we can endure, so that we can press on, and so that we can arrive in victory at the end of the journey. God's grace, friends, is our salvation. It is not cheap. God's grace, it's all about equipping us. It's sufficient for today. It's extended to us, but we have to receive it every day. Amen. And when we receive it every day, it is sufficient for our every need. The question for each of us today, when it comes to sufficient grace, is, have you received your daily dose? It's that easy. Have you taken your medicine? You know, as a matter of fact, let me give you a little clue. Sometimes we need reminders so that we don't forget to do things. Most of you answered the question earlier in the beginning of the sermon, do you take some medicine every day? Every day when you take that medicine, as you take it, may it be a reminder that you also need to ask God for his grace so that you can take his grace. Receive it, and it will keep you strong. It will keep you on the right path. It will keep you growing. Miss it, and you will find your spiritual health lacking, your spiritual vitality weakening, your spiritual effectiveness diminishing. We need God's grace.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.